The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. This is Bears Insider with Bears head coach Lovie Smith, his coaching staff, and the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by North Shore University Health System and Walgreens.
Down their ninth win of the season. They get it in Arizona, knocking out the Cardinals 28-13. It means the Bears are still alive in the wild card race in the NFC, hoping to win and get in with a little help from their friends in Green Bay, Wisconsin. This is Bears Insider, the Christmas Eve version from Hallis Hall here in Lake Forest. The head coach, Lovie Smith, next on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Bears Insider with head coach Lovie Smith continues. Now, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And thanks for joining us, everyone, and Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy holidays. This is Bears Insider featuring head coach Lovie Smith with you until 8 o'clock tonight on a Christmas Eve version of the show. I don't believe we've ever done a Christmas Eve version, Coach. This is brand new territory.
Yeah, I think this is the first time, Jeff. We've done a lot of things, but not this.
Want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas?
Yes, we all do. Got a lot to be thankful for, and nothing like you know, this time of the year, having a chance to spend time with family and play some good football.
Yeah, football we'll get to, but also, a granddad once again, but a newbie. So how's that going?
It's going great. You know, there's just nothing. Of course, it's great being a parent, but being a grandparent is special.
Nice gift for this Christmas season, that's for sure. The Bears handled their business yesterday, beat the Arizona Cardinals 28-13. Overall thoughts on the performance?
Went out there and got a win as much as anything, which we had to do. Didn't have a lot of options, you know, for us to still have a chance to achieve our goals. I just had to get that ninth win, and everybody stepped up from the start, contributed really to the win.
Yeah, it was evasive to get that ninth win. You had three cracks at it, finally got it. And I know I mentioned this to you early in the week before the game about Tim Jennings, who just said, hey, we just got to get that feeling of winning again. And nothing helps that feeling of winning than a defensive touchdown. And the Beanie Wells slip, fall, drop the ball, recovered by Zach Bowman. That seemed to really get everybody feeling right, getting in a relaxed mood, no matter what else was happening in the game. And that really started it. I mean, you can talk about it all you want on ways to win, but this is how the Bears win.
Yes, and you just never know who will be the guy that really gets things started. You know, Zach Bowman has come back and made a lot of good plays for us, but that's the first time he had played on that defensive package for us. But, great establishing line of scrimmage and good for Zach to get the takeaway, but also to get it in the end zone.
A little help from Julius Peppers, too. Gave him a little, didn't need much of a shove.
Hey, you can always use a teammate's help.
You know what I loved, and I know you do, too. Anytime there's a pick, anytime there's a fumble recovery, return touchdown, kick, punt, whatever, the overall excitement of the guys. Just everybody's leaping up into the air, and just it is a big celebration. I know you couldn't see this, but while we're doing the game, and we're in a very tough spot to call the game, we're in the opposite end zone. So it took a while for me to understand what the heck was going on without looking at the TV screen. But they panned to Brian Urlacher, ear to ear smile, hand pumped in the air. You can't undervalue what that means to a team. It's like it's no different than in baseball, somebody stepping up to the plate with the bags juiced and cranking a grand slam home run.
Yeah, and there's just nothing like, you know, you doing something well. It didn't necessarily have to be a touchdown or a big play, just something good that your teammate noticed. And for him to acknowledge the job that you did is just something else. And for a guy like Brian Urlacher, who's not playing but was into the football game yesterday as much as any of our players that were actually out there playing. But, again, you never know who's going to step up. Big play was that.
And let's talk about Brian, because before the game they worked him out a little bit. I watched him doing running around out there, going back and forth, seeing what his range of motion is, sideline to sideline, backpedaling. How's he coming along with that hamstring, and is there a chance that Brian could be available for duty in some form or fashion for this game against Detroit?
If we sit here on a Monday, there's a chance. But, you know, you don't want to rush him too soon. He's making progress, and that's what was good to see yesterday, how far he has come. He's got a long ways to go still. We'll see how the week plays out.
Now, more of the Bears Insider with head coach Lovie Smith on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Hayden covers the slot. Snap, Lindley throwing for his own end zone. On the comeback, it's intercepted. Charles Tillman, 5. End zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. And there is your pick six, Tom. Ninth defensive touchdown this season. Incredible.
And welcome back to Bears Insider here on News Radio 780, 105.9 FM, WBBM. That was the play of the week. It's brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. Charles Tillman, Lovie Smith, does it again. His third pick six of the season. Eighth by the Bears, tying the 1998 Seahawks. 9 defensive touchdowns now with Peanut and the Bowman fumble recovery. 10 return touchdowns overall, matching your output last season, which included some Devin Hester excellence as well. And now 64 in your 9-year coaching career, whether it be in the return game kicking or defensive touchdowns, block punts, block field goal, you name it. You guys have done it all. Those are a lot of numbers. Let's start breaking them down. The Peanut pick, sitting on a route on the young quarterback and taking it to the house. But 3-1 season, that's some rare company in the NFL.
Yes, and we've just seen it so many times by Charles. And, you know, just great anticipation first off. You know, we were in a roll-up coverage. You know, of course, he jumped it. And it's one thing to be a defensive back that gets interceptions, but, you know, when you're talking about being consistent, you know, get an interception, it's a touchdown. Right. And that's what's just hard to do. But he can beat you in so many ways, of course, as a, you know, stripping the football out. But he also has excellent hands.
Well, given what he's had to deal with this year in terms of who he's facing, I mean, Tom and I were talking about it on the broadcast. He basically hit all the big shots. Yep. I mean, all the big shots. And you chose yesterday not to completely make it just Charles on Larry Fitzgerald. I assumed you might try that. What motivated you not to do that in that game? And I'm assuming Tim Jennings' return certainly helped that process.
Yeah, Tim's return helped that process. There's a lot of things goes into. Some days we will just lock up no matter what. There's a big size difference, but there's not a big size difference. You know, I'm talking about with the two receivers. And yesterday we had two big guys. So you know, there's a lot goes into it. You know, we'll, you know, have to really look at it again this week. You know, it's kind of round two a little bit with some of those great receivers you talked about going up to Detroit.
Yeah, and he did a great job on Calvin Johnson in that first game at Soldier Field. So it was probably his most difficult game of the season, and he's on his way to try and get to 2,000 yards receiving. I know they got milestones. We'll talk about that later in the show. I want to focus more on Charles' season. Do you recall a better one for him in all phases?
No. I mean, he's been healthy. Just in any way you judge a defensive back, I mean, he has to say that this is one of his best, you know, career year for him. And like we said that last year too, seemed like as he gets older, he's getting better each year. But intercepting the ball, of course, stripping the ball as a tackler, as a leader. Brian Urlacher has been out, of course, for a few weeks. Charles has moved into Brian's captain's role also. It's not much Charles hasn't done for us.
And as you look at the way he played, and you mentioned the term roll-up, for those who don't know what that means, when he rolled up on that, can you explain us?
Yeah, and I was just basically talking about our signature cover two coverage where corner has a short zone underneath, outside short zone underneath, and he has safety help over the top. So it allows you to use some of your instincts, you know, knowing that you're backed up by the safety behind you.
How does partner in crime do? I was really focusing on the first hit or the first hit he would deliver. And there was the celebration with Zach Bowman after the fun, and they went high up in the air and bang shoulders. I don't know which one it is, but I was like, oh, don't have anything happen. But he got through it just fine. And yes. How did Timmy Jennings look?
Yeah, he got through it, you know, in good shape, like you said. We thought that, you know, we held him out as long as we could where there wasn't a lot of risk. There's always risk when you come back, but we felt pretty good about it. Seemed like, you know, he stepped right in and didn't miss a beat. Of course, he was tackling. I didn't see him faving the shoulder an awful lot. And, his pass coverage was good. You know, Tim has been on that 8 number for a while. I mean, it would be great for him to, you know, to have a defensive back with a double-digit number 2.
I mean, it'd be unbelievable. He did have a hand in what would have been an interception, but he got whistled for the pass interference. Look, legit, I guess, right?
You'd say. Yeah.
But another, I mean, tap to Conti. He's helped out Major Wright and Conti early in the season, so he has had his hand in double-digit interceptions.
And that's it. You just won't, you know, when they throw your way, you want to be involved on the play and try to affect the outcome in our favor. And he has done that. Not, as you mentioned, not with just interception, but, you know, calls interception or whatever you want to, you know, say it or you want to call it.
Conti goes down yesterday, and you are paper thin at safety right now.
Yes, we are. That was a tough one for him to pull, you know, and a great play by him in end zone, too. And Chris Conti has played good ball for us all year. But
that was on the pass breakup, right?
Yes, on the pass breakup, you know, one-on-one coverage. He was matched up against their tight end, but we'll have to rebound and next guy up.
All right, Anthony Walters, get ready. Young man out of Delaware, and you're a highly thought-of player. We'll talk about him coming up in our next segment.
Bears Insider continues with head coach Lovie Smith. This is the home of the Bears. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
And welcome back into Bears Insider, our Christmas Eve version from Hallis Hall in Lake Forest. Pleased you joined us tonight. Hope you all enjoying your holidays and off to wherever you're going to see family, friends, and relatives tonight. Stay safe and have an enjoyable holiday as the Bears look to get themselves back in the playoffs and a 10-win season on the horizon when they go up to Detroit to take on the Lions. We'll be discussing that here on Bears Insider with head coach Lovie Smith throughout the evening as we also look back at yesterday's win in Arizona. And you can ask a Bears question in the Toyota Fan Zone. Tweet any Bears-related question using the hashtag BearsToyota, and it might be answered by myself or Tom Thayer during the Bears Game Night live broadcast Sunday nights on Fox Chicago. If the selected question belongs to you, you receive a Bears Pro Shop gift card, so use the hashtag BearsToyota, the pass rush of Julius Peppers. 3 sacks. He boosts his total to 11.5. He's had a little run here of sacks to get him back in the double digits. He also had a batted ball at the line of scrimmage. He also forced a fumble. He also had a bunch of tackles. Overall performance, where did that rank this season for Julius Peppers?
He's played a lot of good games for us. You know, initially you just say 3 sacks must have been a great game for him. He did so much more. You mentioned one of the sacks causing the fumble. He had numerous other good rushes. Just his overall play was outstanding, and it was last week too, you know, and this push that we have, you need your marquee guys to really step up, and Julius Peppers has done that.
And Nick Rocha, middle linebacker, was one of the leading tacklers along with Charles Tillman, and he kept flashing. I mean, he was around the ball a lot yesterday.
Nick Rocha's a good football player, and, you know, to play one position, you know, all year and then move into the, you know, maybe the more, you know, one of the harder positions to play in, all the responsibilities that goes with being the Mike linebacker. A lot of checks, checking a lot of defenses at the line of scrimmage yesterday, and Nick did a great job with all of that, and then making the play after the ball was snapped.
Was that more than usual because of the type of shifting they do?
Well,
they do a lot of shifting.
You know, different game plan each week. They did that. We just thought that, you know, we had some good matchups for what they were doing.
You know, interesting, we did a feature on Nick for our Game Night Live show this past week. Just an enjoyable individual to talk to, just to find a little bit more about. He's more on the quiet side, shies away from the spotlight. He'd prefer to be the guy behind the camera, not in front of the camera, and readily admits it. But he's extremely interesting, and it was a term that was told to me, you know, if still waters run deep, that's him, because there's a lot to him. But he doesn't find himself as an interesting story. But here's a guy who came out of the inner city of Milwaukee, where I don't believe there's any other NFL player that's ever done that, and a guy who had no intention of playing football, manages to find his way in the National Football League and has been a consistent starter for you and can play multiple positions, plus special teams, plus be a leader in his own way.
Yeah, Northwestern grad, throw that in there too. Just so much the guy has done. But no, he isn't a loud guy, and he's not a self-promoter or anything like that, but you do notice him and you want to know more about him based on his play. And as a, you know, teammate, you know, whether it be playing Sam linebacker, Will linebacker, Mike linebacker, all three linebacker position, of course, special teams player, he's done it all for us. And seemed like he's getting better and better as he's getting older.
Yeah, it's a Tim Jennings type of situation.
Sure is.
Potentially there as well. I know we're focusing on the defense, but there's a lot to focus on. And let's be honest, Arizona's offense has struggled all season long. Young, super young quarterback. They yanked him in the game. Hoyer has a little bit of experience as Tom Brady's backup for 3 years. But it's how you went about your business, you know, taking the ball away, getting to the quarterback, and shutting down the run. Once Beanie Wells fumbled, I don't know, maybe he hurt the knee because it looked like he was grabbing it. But boom, done. Less than 30 yards there. 3.4 yards per play, 4.1 yards per pass attempt, and no touchdown drives allowed on your defense. No rushing first downs, 3 third down conversions. I mean, that's a dominant performance defensively, something that had to be done against a team like that.
Yeah, I mean, going in, we knew what their statistics were for the season. It was a game that the defense needed to take over and should take over. They're able to do that, as you said. First, you can't let a team get both going. Even though they were challenged at the quarterback position, Larry Fitzgerald was still there. Floyd, you know, first-round pick from Notre Dame. I mean, they had good skill players in the passing game, but you couldn't let the running game get started. All of their backs and being able to shut down that run early on and then put the pressure on the quarterback to make plays allowed us to get those takeaways.
And let's talk about Israel Adonijé, because here's another guy when you watch back through the game, watch the tape of it, he is long and strong inside at defensive tackle. I know he's played end a lot, but he looks to be really fitting in beautifully at that three-technique defensive tackle, because it is the shortest distance to the quarterback, and once he gets position and movement, that length just, boom, he's on the quarterback.
Length, arms, you know, all of that. He rushed well yesterday, played well.
Heart.
Yesterday, he always played. If you know Israel Adonijé, you know what you're going to get as far as effort. But Stephen Pye, the front, you know, just stepping up. We played Corey Wooten inside a little bit in passing situations too. You know, hopefully, you know, we bought some time. Shea McClellan getting back out there. We bought some time for Henry Melton was close. Hopefully, you know, with another week, we could possibly get him back.
All right, we'll talk more about that and more on the offense as we break down the Bears' win over the Cardinals and the soon-to-be win over the Lions. A thumbs up from everybody in the room here at Hallis Hall.
This is Bears Insider with Bears head coach Lovie Smith, brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by University of Phoenix and Verizon. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And welcome back into Bears Insider, the Christmas Eve version here from Hallis Hall. Jeff Joniak along with the head coach Lovie Smith. Please, you join us tonight as we look back at the win in Arizona and a quick turnaround to get ready now for the Detroit Lions, the season finale with everything on the line. As we bring it to you right here on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM, the Bears All Access Radio Show will be broadcast live in store at Sports Authority of Vernon Hills on this Thursday. Join us by just showing up from 6 to 7 at Sports Authority in Vernon Hills for a chance to win raffle prizes and meet Bears players. So let's take a look at the offense now. Jay started slow. The offense started slow in terms of the passing game, and you did try and establish that, I guess, right out of the gate. That seemed to be the plan, some deep balls. 1 of 11, but then 10 of his next 11, and things started heat up. And I look at that two-minute drive before the half. You did have the lead, but that's when a tempo started. That was a rhythm, and many different guys were worked into the mix. Is that what you hope to see on Sunday in Detroit?
Yes, you know, going in, we knew coming out at halftime we would get the ball, so you wanted to finish up that first half the right way. And you're right, we didn't start the way we wanted to overall. We still had opportunity to hit a couple plays, but, you know, that two-minute drive before, you know, I think Jay was 5 out of 5 and, you know, leading us right down, you know, for the touchdown. But that did set the tempo and gave us some momentum against a good Arizona team, too. I know what the record is, but defensively, good secondary, had guys, you know, coming into the game, the pressure we were concerned with. But our offensive line did just a super job of giving protection, you know, for Jay and open up holes for Matt and the rest of our running backs to get some yards running it too.
Yeah, at every level, they have some players now. I mean, Dockett was quieted by your offensive line. Well done there. Didn't call his name much. Calais Campbell did get a bunch of tackles. He's long. He's 6'8". He'll get to you somehow. You're impressed with that Darrell Washington. They just gave him new money this year, and he's only a third-year player. I believe out of TCU, is that right? You're impressed with him. And those guys in the secondary are all talented veterans or young emerging talent like Patrick Peterson.
Yes, Patrick Peterson and Brandon, of course, you know, battled
that was
out
a battle.
Throughout today. You know, two guys with size and, you know, competed hard, good, clean play throughout. You mentioned Washington. I was as impressed with him as I've been with, you know, any of the other opponents, linebackers that we've played. And up front, they had a lot of guys coming in, so we knew it would be tough duty. But, you know, that always starts up front. And, you know, our guys did a good job. You know, Gabe Karimi, it's been inside, been out, but starting in place of Jonathan Scott at the right tackle position, did a good job. James Brown, you know, just
he stuck out.
You know, an inexperienced player that's getting more and more experience and getting better and better, getting more and more confidence with him. So just across the board, you know, Spencer, of course, Jamarcus way up, Roberto, all of them did a good job.
And with James Brown, since we don't know all that much about him, obviously a college tackle, but he looks the part of a guard. He's got the size. He can move very well. He got out in front on some of those pulls, a couple of screens. Really, he likes to play physical, it appears, too. He was hitting guys right through the whistle, and he just really stuck out. He really stuck out.
He's a lot better athlete than, you know, looking at him, you would probably give him credit for. You know, sometimes we, just as a warm-up, we have a lineman running routes, catching deep balls a little bit, and we were doing that last week at the end of the week, and I was just, I could really almost say shocked at how well he caught deep balls.
No kidding.
Just athletic ability of being able to run in space and control his body. And that's what you see on a lot, you know, a lot of the movement type plays that we have.
The light bulb went off. Tight end. No. let's go back to that Marshall matchup with Peterson. And they didn't go that way the entire game. They flipped a few times, but it was primarily those two. Did you feel just by reading the body language and seeing the reactions from Peterson, he was getting frustrated with Marshall's size, strength, ability throughout the course of the game? Did a little bit get in his head? Now, Brandon, you know, there were a couple of drops, but overall he had, you know, there was a fight every time for the ball, and Brandon is tough to bring down and deal with.
I think every defensive back that hasn't played Brandon Marshall is surprised when you go against him. You see him, how big he is and how physical he is and how he uses his body to catch the football. And even for a guy like Peterson, who's, you know, 6'1", 220, who's a, you know, as big a cornerback as there is, pretty much in the league also. But when you're a competitor like that, you want to play against a player like Brandon Marshall to see how you match up. And, of course, Brandon is used to that each week. He's gotten everybody's best and, you know, in some form, whether you're putting two guys on him or one most of the games he's played all year. That's what he expects.
And that speed, you know, you always love speed. And if you're fast and can't play, it doesn't matter. Patrick Peterson can play and has 4.3 speed. But the way he runs, you really don't want to see the ball in his hands in that punt return game. He had one 13-yard return, but you could just see the ease at which he covers ground. Same thing when he's in his back pedal even. You know, he's really, really good athlete.
No, he's a talented athlete. And you mentioned him as a punt returner. That was a concern coming in also, even though he hasn't scored this year. He's always just one return away from doing something special back there, too. Our our coverage units did a great job with him. Yeah, I'm going to say, mention Zach, you know, Bowman again, made some plays. He and Eric Weems both, but they held him down on that also.
You know, your punt coverage unit is setting new standards. I mean, less than 100 yards, 84 yards now on just 24 returns out of the 76 punts of Adam Pylish. So it's a two-man game here. So Pylish is doing his job.
Yes.
Directionally, a hang time situations, changing the style of punt from time to time. He's forcing a ton of fair catches. And when he does bounce the ball, it's bouncing the Bears' way. He's getting a lot of extra yards out of it, which is allowing you to down the ball. You are number one in the league downing punts. And so, therefore, you're not putting that fear in or putting the ball on a guy who can create a lot of fear by returning the ball. Less than 100 yards, nobody in the league's done that. They're averaging 3.5 yards of return. I mean, I that's pretty impressive.
Yes, it is. And it does start, you know, first, you know, Patrick Manley, you know, snaps going back. But Adam, you know, with his placements, and you can take that back to Zach's fumble recovery of pinning them down in there. It goes hand in hand, of course, with the defense, but the guys take a lot of pride in, you know, being on the special teams and knowing how important that is. And we have a core group of guys, and you know, we've had a lot of injuries, and that affects quite a bit.
100%.
Of course, it affects the starting lineups for some of the, you know, for some of the positions on offense and defense, but it's a trickle-down effect to the special teams. And we have guys that haven't played a lot, but they're all stepping up.
Franklin gets out there.
Franklin
yesterday.
Made some good plays. So guys really are stepping up.
And it's that Eric Weems is a tone setter. He is constantly in the thick after the whistle of something going on. People don't like playing against him, I don't think.
No, and they know who he is. You know, he'll get, you know, even for a small guy, he'll get double teamed. They know that they have to deal with him and have a plan for him, or he's going to make some plays. Even as a blocker, he had a couple knockdown blocks, you know, for our return game yesterday, too.
Well, how about when Peterson was going to catch the punt, he gets hurt on it. Weems blocked the guy in front of him into him. Now, it's legal, correct? Or not?
The official, everything is legal.
But it angered Adrian Wilson to no end. He was chirping the rest of the game. But that's a veteran move, if you ask me. That's a guy who knows what he's
playing
doing.
Playing hard to the whistle.
Exactly right. And the one fly in the ointment, well, two flies in the ointment in special teams when the ball kicked on DJ Moore. But the punt returner has to alert the man, and whether he did or didn't, I don't know that, but it has to be loud enough, and there are calls for that, correct?
It's a combination of both. Yes, that the returner has to alert the guys, but you have to know about where you are, you know, how close you're getting to the returner too. So it's a two-way street on those. Two of them really could have hurt us. Other one, I think Eric picked up and ran with it. But we have to eliminate those things. We had a couple of miscues with our special teams. Of course, getting a field goal blocked. Just can't have that. Could have been a big play if it had been a tighter game.
Right, it would have. And that Justin Bethel is somebody that Dave Tobes told me that he was on your radar as an organization. Outstanding from a small college, Presbyterian College. 9 blocks in college. He had 3 in the preseason. Adrian Wilson got this one, I believe, and he's the guy that took it to the house. But in terms of, but what you probably didn't like more is the not tackling him.
Yeah, but, you know, well, I can not more. I mean, it starts with, it just can't allow that. Protection has to be better. And then, of course, you got to get him down then, too.
All right, let's talk about the running game because it was starting to cook a little bit. Matt Forte, you could have envisioned a, you know, maybe even a 150-yard day run of the football. You had the lead. You could have, you know, used him to kill the clock and get a big day. And the ankle, again, I know he's frustrated. It's the third time. Major concern, minor concern, and, you know, is it the same type of situation?
Well, it's a concern. You know, when you don't finish and you limp off the field, it's a concern. You know, we're just hopeful still evaluating him. But he did have a good game going. Again, up with almost 100 yards, but had some good runs, made some good cuts. And you just have to assume, or you can at least wonder exactly what type of game he would have had. But it's next guy up. Khalil Bell hadn't gotten a lot of reps, hadn't just got here, but stepped in big. And Armando Allen just seemed like every time he gets reps, you feel like something really good can happen.
Yeah, I mean, he's got juice to him, and he hides. He's small. You know, he can hide behind those big guys.
Good quickness. And
is that enough to kick you into Detroit, the two of them?
Well, it has.
If necessary.
If necessary. We'll keep our options open. We're first hopeful, you know, for Matt. But if, you know, well, first we're hopeful for Matt, and we'll see how it plays out.
All right, we're going to save the best for last. We're going to talk all Detroit in our final segment here on Bears Insider, Bears Huddle, and Bears Blitz, brought to you by Jimmy John's. Your chance to catch up on Bears news every Wednesday and Thursday at 4:30 on Comcast Sportsnet Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. Back with our final segment with head coach Lovie Smith here on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM.
The Bears Insider continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM.
And welcome back into Bears Insider, our final segment with head coach Lovie Smith as we get ready for week 17 of the NFL season. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays. It is Christmas Eve in Lake Forest and a joyous occasion after coming out of Arizona with a 28-13 win over the Cardinals and now preparing for the Detroit Lions. And you can watch Bears Game Night Live brought to you by Toyota Sundays at 10:35 on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears Network. You and the missus exchange a lot of gifts, or is it just, you know, gifts throughout the year cover the story, or does she have an expectation?
Yes, but you know, it's kind of Christmas time year round for my wife Mary Ann. But we of course exchange quite a, you know, between grandkids and kids, a lot of gifts being given out.
Fun times indeed when you have a big family as you do. And I don't know if Marianne does have has a big family, but that's the best part, no question about it. All right, before we touch on Detroit, a couple of nuggets here. We touched on Patrick Manley. Patrick Manley gets a one-year contract extension today. It was announced by the Bears. Couldn't be happier for Patrick. Came back after that ACL tear just not long ago to maintain his excellence. Nobody better at long snapping. I can't believe he's never been named to a Pro Bowl, honestly. He's been so steady with some really good punters and kickers he's been sending that ball back to.
Yes, he's just, you know, the amount of games he's played for the Bears, you know, the leadership that he displays always in the locker room. And he's been, you know, it seemed like the entire time that he's been here, he's been one of our captains. Consistent play from him. We know what we're going to get from him each week. So we're excited about it, and I know Patty is also.
And in terms of yesterday, you mentioned Shane McClellan coming back. How did you think he performed up front?
I thought it was a good start back. You know, he plays the way he normally does. You know, plays hard, you know, good speed off the edge. And, you know, our defensive line, you know, as a whole played pretty good yesterday. Of course, Shea was a big part of that, and he'll even be better this week.
I felt he and Izzy got held a couple times. In fact, Shea got held by his old college teammate, Nate Potter, the left tackle. Did you see that one?
Yeah, I see a few more than they call each week, but you know how that goes.
Kelvin Hayden back inside in nickel had a chance at two interceptions, gets the one. And I know you were had visions of
10.
Yes.
Yeah, we did. It's good for Kelvin though to get his first in. I think it's his first interception of the season. But yeah, we thought we would get. We're hoping we would get that one in to get that third touchdown for the day. But not only Kelvin Hayden's play, you know, these passes that we're talking about, but as a run defender too. He's in a great. He plays hard. He's a tough guy. He likes tackling, and it was good. You know, of course with Tim, you know, coming back to the corner position to get him back inside.
Does his body type, style, speed, athleticism, and experience, does that inside position fit his makeup better?
Yeah, I think it's more suited for who he is. Body position, just what he is as a football player. Nickel position, too, you can get involved, of course. You have to be a tackler. You're, you know, a lot of times you're the free guy in run fits, you know, making tackles. But you're going to have to play man coverage. You're going to have to play some good zone and getting an opportunity to blitz, too. But he can do all those well.
You guys blitz about, by my count, about 8 or 9 times in the past. You might have had some run blitz in there. Was that part of making a young quarterback play like a young quarterback?
Yes, we blitzed a few times yesterday coming into the game. We, of course, that was a part of the game plan to do that. Some of them were effective.
Did you think they were going to blitz more than they did, or did they do it about the number you thought?
I thought they blitzed a fair amount. So that's pretty much, you know, kind of followed suit what, you know, they've been doing. You know, a few games, maybe they would, you know, blitz more, but you just never know.
And as we get you set now for the Detroit Lions, where do you begin?
Well, we have a history with them, of course, being a division opponent and of course, playing them this year. So we know them. They know us. They haven't changed systems. We haven't. We know the personnel very well. They know us. We played in Detroit a few times. Detroit is close enough for us to get our fair share of fans over there. Like we travel. We have traveled so well this year, and it. You know, we're in Dallas, Jeff. I said, man, what a great crowd. And we went to Jacksonville. I said the same thing. And in Tennessee, it was unbelievable.
That was
yesterday
the
was just
it was great.
To have that many fans. And that really helps a lot. And we will need them. What a way to finish up that Christmas, you know, this Christmas week, starting off with everyone going up to Detroit.
All right, fill up Ford Field, will you? Fill up Ford Field. Now, are you surprised, given the talent that they have on that team, that they're 4-11?
I think it's hard winning in the NFL, and especially in our division. I mean, before the year, I thought our division was the hardest division in football, you know, and some people would have agreed with that, but you just look how it's played out. Detroit has talent. They've lost a lot of close games. So, based on what they did last year, but it's year to year. And if breaks just don't go your way, you can find yourself in that position, but still capable of winning the football game. And that's where we are this week with them.
They're on a 7-game losing streak, and their last win came November 4th at Jacksonville. You guys took them down 13-7 at Soldier Field. So this is a team that can score, though. That is a fact. They have the ability to score points. They have hit the skids here in the last 3 weeks, not scoring anything more than 20, but there was a stretch they were getting. They had a 140-point outburst. They had 30, 31, 33. So that's going to be, you know what you're getting. Stafford threw the ball 64 times against you in the second game last year. There's nothing stopping him from going for 70, trying to get his 300-plus yards to get to 5,000. No quarterback has had back-to-back 5,000-yard seasons in the NFL, and 2,000 for Calvin Johnson. So, you know, that's what they'll be playing for, and to be nasty and try and knock you guys out of the mix. This is not, well, I'm not going to put words in your mouth. I think the most common belief, this is not going to be an easy out. What do you think?
No doubt it's not going to be an easy out. You mentioned some of the things that they are playing for. Number one, to beat Chicago Bears. I mean, that's to finish off your year with a good taste in your mouth after a lot of disappointment. That's the first step. But there are some personal goals that are important. I know Calvin Johnson set the NFL
broke Jerry Rice's record. He's at 1892.
Broke Jerry Rice's record. Have a chance to get 2,000. Those are big goals for them, and I didn't realize that until you said about the back-to-back 5,000-yard passing yards, you know, for two consecutive seasons. So those are, you know, some things that are still in there. I look at how they play. You know, they've lost a lot of close games, though. And even that game, they were – you know, Atlanta got up on them early, but they came back and had a chance there late. So we'll have to be ready.
You know, one thing about watching that game, yes, Atlanta beat them 30, put 31 points on them, but they contested every ball. They don't make it easy on you.
No.
And, you know, they got two great receivers in Julio Jones and Roddy White there that were able to make some big plays. But, you know, it's a fight. It's a fight. You know the physical aspect of you're going to have to be ready for that, obviously, as a player. But they do fight you, don't they, on every play. They've got, well, with Sue and Delmas on the back end, those are two guys right away that are going to set tones.
Yes, and, of course, Sue in their front. I mean, they have one of the better front sevens, really. Yeah. That's how they've been for a while with some of the defensive linemen we talked about. But getting Delmas back, though, gives them something else to contend with back there. He's a big hitter. He plays, you know, plays hard every snap. I know they're a little banged up at the corner position. But, no, we know what to expect. You know, it's not like they're going to change up their defense or offensively what they're going to do.
Interesting. I didn't even realize it till right now. But, you know, Stafford threw 41 touchdowns a year ago. He's got 17 this year. But Calvin's only caught 5 touchdowns, 117 pass receptions, but 5 touchdowns. Brandon Marshall's got 11. Touchdowns on, I think, 113 catches now. So the individual competition within the game in the small little frame of the big picture will also be there between those two guys.
Yeah, like it was last week.
Yeah.
You know, Fitzgerald and Marshall, you know, for the fans have a chance to see, you know, two of the top receivers in the game. That'll be the case this week, you know, with Johnson and, of course, with Brandon. Playing, and you know, it'll be a challenge for the guys on the other side of the ball. Of course, we know how we're gonna match up with Calvin, but it'll be a challenge too for Detroit to match up with Brandon.
And Alshon Jeffrey, did he play in that game? I'm trying to think now out loud, but I don't know if he was on the field or not. If he was in, well, it was after the Jacksonville game, so I could quickly figure that out. But while I figure that out,
he'll be playing this week.
Yes, so. He will. So. It was good to see. You know, you would always worry about a young player, no matter how mentally tough he is, what his confidence would be like after having a game like last week when it was basically taken away from him a little bit because of the flags. But he responded well.
He responded. He did. And, of course, that long throw, what a great catch mm-hmm. he made. Was competing throughout. He got a couple calls, at least one he got, you know, against them this time, against the opponent. you know, he's a young player, but his future is bright, and there's an awful lot of things he can do to help us win.
Do you care what the NFL did making the Green Bay-Minnesota game flexed to the night so you won't know until that game is finished whether or not you're going to the playoffs?
Well, I kind of like it a little bit, and you have to. Don't really have a choice, but for us, we were going to go and play the game, and we can't affect what happens in that game. It's just about us taking care of our business like we did yesterday. We need to get a win and put the pressure on them.
All right, love you. Well, Merry Christmas to you and your family. Thank you for sitting through an entire hour of Bears Insider on Christmas Eve. And good luck, and wish you nothing but the best in knocking out the Detroit Lions and getting 10 wins, getting in the playoffs. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Special thanks to Bears Director of Broadcasting, Greg Miller, our producers, Janine Gillette, and for Bears Head Coach, Lovie Smith, and for Andy Gersher, I'm Jeff Joniak. Tom Thayer, Ron, Jim, and Jay. 9 a.m. pregame, noon kickoff from Detroit. Thanks for listening. Merry Christmas. This is WBBM at HD Chicago, WCFS-FM at HD1, Elmwood Park, Chicago.